Hi there, this is Kate McClanahan, and this is the Sound Advice Podcast.
All right, so this is the podcast with, we're back with Bruce Thomas. I think it was two, 3 years ago.
Yeah, we did a podcast. I think so. That's about right.
And that was cool. And we've updated your demos and stuff like that over the years and stuff.
Yeah.
But you have quite the, well, you're an actor, you know, who also does voiceover. Would you consider yourself a voice actor in general, or?
I would these days. In the last, I don't know whether it's age or what, but the nature of the business for me has slowed down on camera. And so primarily I am a voiceover actor now, and that's how I like to think of myself. I'm perfectly comfortable with that.
Yep.
And
well, you got the Bryan Cranston thing going.
Yeah.
Not for nothing. I mean, I think people relate that. But do you do that for on camera too? Do they relate you as such? You're more the handsome guy, though. You're more, I mean, not that he isn't cute. I think he's adorable, personally.
Yeah.
But he's...
I get that a lot. Yeah, I get compared to him.
Vocally.
And, vocally and physically.
And not for nothing, he's a major voiceover. I mean, he does
Yes,
a lot.
He is. Yes, he's the voice of Ford right now. He's doing a great job with it.
Yeah, and you also do games, though.
Yes, I do games.
And you've been on the forefront of games, including MoCap, in our last go-round when we did the last podcast with you.
Yeah, I did.
It was primarily about MoCap.
With Halo, right.
Motion capture,
And I just finished a great big game right now. In fact, my last VO session will be coming up on Monday for it. It'll roll out next spring, and I don't think I'm allowed to say what it is yet, so I can't. But
And that's the thing about games. They're all under wraps, and you sign a million NDAs and stuff,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, exactly.
So, but you know all the top motion capture producers in mm-hmm. Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
and those are primarily done here. I mean, people think, oh, I just want to get in games. I want to do animation. When they think of voiceover, when most anyone thinks of voiceover, they think of animation and games, you know? Now, you don't just do that. You also do commercial work, obviously.
I had a really good year last year doing a lot of big commercials. Well, not big, but a fair amount of commercials. I was.
It's about repetition.
About repetition. And I was fortunate enough between very small jobs mm-hmm. and very big jobs. I worked most weeks last year, which was really quite a milestone for me. It was really a nice year to have.
And a very different workflow doing commercial work than it is doing animation and games, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Animation and games, you get a full-blown character to do. You go into the studio, you work with other actors, mostly on animation. You'll do like a radio play kind of a situation where you're in a room with 5, 6, 7 people.
So they do a table read. Essentially,
yeah.
But you're on your feet.
You're on your own mic, but you get to play with each other. You get to look in the other eyes of the other
Always?
Performers and work. Well, with Warner Brothers Animation, which is the primary stuff that I've been doing in the DC universe.
Right. And are most of those voice actors, those are people that you've worked with over the years as well?
Oh, they're the biggest names in the business,
right.
Which I knock on wood, I'm so fortunate to be...
like Keith Farrelly.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And he's lovely.
Yeah, Kari Wahlgren and...
fantastic.
John DiMaggio and Freddie Tatasciore and all those people.
Yeah,
just Steve Bloom. I mean, just
nice.
Crazy.
And
those, I'm sitting there with them. I just feel
it's a pedigree that's
great.
It is the rarefied air, you know, it's the upper echelon. But so many talent want to, you know, what is the workflow of that? I love like laying that out, like as far as you're about to go to Comic-Con and stuff, right?
With a new Batman film called Batman Hush. We'll be there next week, the 19th in July.
Nice.
We'll be on a panel with Rainn Wilson, who's in it.
Oh, I love no kidding.
Right.
That's cool.
Rebecca Romijn, Jerry O'Connell, Jason O'Mara.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah, all the celebs want
to
do all that kind of stuff. And the reason it's good for them in between doing movies and TV shows and stuff, just like you, you know, again, they want actors, you know?
Right.
That's the key thing. It's like, are you an actor,
right.
you know? Now, are those guys doing motion capture with
No. No,
do
this
you
is
get
just
to
the
see
stuff.
Them when you're actually doing things too?
This project, no, was a little bit different.
Isolated?
Wes Gleason brought us in individually for the most part on this one.
It depends on the director what their workflow is, correct?
Correct. Yeah, and this is the third time, by the way. Who I'm playing is Commissioner Gordon, and this is the third time. I'm playing him. So
you're usually Batman.
Well, I have been. Yeah.
So in terms of the workflow of games and animation, and mainly games,
mm-hmm.
because it's such a big thing. It makes $43 billion more a year, games, the entire gaming industry.
It's up to 43 now?
43
wow.
billion with
Holy
a
cow.
B, more than the entire film and television industry.
Wow. It's really, really growing exponentially.
It has beyond all of our wildest dreams, which is all the more reason why you guys should get residuals, you know?
Well, yeah.
I think it's a tough workflow, though. You usually do your auditions from home. Is that correct?
I do. Yeah, I have a little booth set up in much like this.
And it takes some time to put those auditions together, right?
I mean,
for animation and games, I find for myself personally, it takes me about, I'm going to say 45 minutes to an hour at least per audition.
Mm-hmm. To really find the character, a unique voice.
Maybe
character.
Longer, you know, sometimes two.
Yeah.
It depends on how much text.
Yeah.
And again, they have you sign a million NDAs.
Mm-hmm.
It's all hush hush.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find when you go to do, to record these things, they shut your phone down? Have you found that yet? You might not, because you're in a different ballpark.
That's interesting, though.
You're in a different league. Or they'll take your phone from you.
Wow.
When you walk in.
That's probably smart. Because
these
things
so
pick up.
On lockdown, these guys.
These things pick up everything.
I mean, we don't have that
They're
commercial
listening to us right now,
and corporate
sure.
narrative on the average. You know what I mean? They'll sign you to an NDA occasionally and that kind of stuff, but not every time. And it's so hush-hush because there's such big money at stake.
Yeah.
I don't think the talent make a fraction of what they should be making, especially when you're looking at those kind of numbers. And that's why we had the strike a couple years ago and stuff, too, you know. And that's part of it. I mean, it was not the whole shoot and match. It was really primarily because a lot of talent were getting hurt. I'm going in for a voiceover for a game, and I broke my collarbone or I sprained my ankle because they have you jumping all over the place and wearing a scuba suit with a bunch of dots on it.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
True.
And then try and explain that to your insurance company. It's like, how did you break your collarbone? Doing a voiceover.
Right.
Denied.
Right. Right. Right.
Get out of here.
No coverage for you.
That's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense. No, but in terms of the workflow, okay, you audition. How often do you audition, mostly, or is it mostly on referral? Is it half and half?
No, mostly auditions, for
mostly
sure.
Auditions, yeah.
Yeah. Although it's really nice when you get an occasional client to call you up and just book you on stuff.
Yeah.
It's
oh,
really nice.
Yeah.
I mean,
I love that.
It just feels like, it's the way it's supposed to be.
And as a producer, I like doing that more than I like. I mean, nobody likes the audition process, but it's a necessity.
Well, and you better get good at it. If you don't like it's tough luck. You do something else for a living. You better get good at it.
Yep, because it's a big part of that. It's how you
it's
build
the only
your,
way.
It's how you build your book. It's how you build your reputation.
Yeah.
It's how you establish yourself.
And
you know,
those things add up, too.
Person.
I've had clients that have heard me audition, you know, over the last few years, and they remember your name, and they know you're the one that they're going to ask for.
Right.
For example, Kimmel, I did I've done three, four things for them.
Oh, yeah.
And one accent they particularly liked, and so now they sort of think of me as their go-to guy for that particular dialect, and so they remember, and it's good.
Oh, yeah,
you have to really put all your work into auditions. That's really the only thing you have to offer,
right?
Until the icing comes in on the cake, and they actually book you,
right?
But that's your work, is to audition.
Well, and also, you know, what's cool about what you do too, Bruce, though, is you make sure that you diversify. You've got your home team, which is your local agent. You're with Atlas,
right?
Who are phenomenal,
right? They are.
Love that agency.
Me too.
Everybody there, they're so like, go team, go,
yeah.
Let's go. And I feel that about Abrams. I feel that about KMR
Good,
or
yes.
Dean Panaro talent.
Yeah,
you know?
KMR's great.
Oh,
yeah.
They're terrific. Arlene Thornton's that way.
Mm.
I mean, there's a handful here in LA that are extraordinary. Not every talent agent handles animation and games.
Oh, really?
No,
huh?
They don't, because they don't specialize in it.
Mm.
I mean, if they specialize, now, of the ones I've mentioned, they do, but just now. But it doesn't mean they're going to take everybody on, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They expect that you live in LA already. And I'll fly in. I can't tell you how many people say, yeah, but I'll fly in. You're in Alabama.
Yeah.
That's a two-day trip, babe.
Yeah.
They want you this afternoon.
Yeah,
you know?
Good
they
luck.
Want, and it's not going
to
happen.
There's so much stuff that's last minute.
I get them
all day long. ASAPs.
Now, okay, so again, I keep interrupting myself with the workflow of it. So you audition.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it typically take you to even hear if you booked it or not? Could take 2 weeks, could take 2 months, could take a year sometimes, right?
Yes, as a matter of fact, yeah, it can run that entire gamut that you just laid out. Anywhere from auditioning at 2 o'clock and hearing by 5,
right,
to auditioning, which this happened to me recently on a big new huge game for the lead character. I auditioned back in November. They actually paid me to come in and do a session with
so it was a demo
in facial capture.
Wow.
And we did a 4-hour session with the director and the development team.
And they needed someone who's seasoned with motion capture. Clearly.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
That's you, because you've done a lot of that.
And so we worked it. It was a work session. It was really wonderful to give that back and forth. I'm told that I'm the guy. And so that was November.
Yeah. Wow.
They were planning. Last word I got was we were going to go in either July or September. Still waiting.
Yeah.
Or there's also, I got a rumor that the development company may decide to, whip out some big bucks and go find a name. But the development team is like, wait, we got our guy. We got him.
I know, but there's too many parts to the car. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's at least 8 guys, that are developing the look of it and then the landscapes of it and then implementing
it. All of their jobs are on the line too with
Absolutely.
Each and every game because, like you said, there's $1 billion riding on this.
Damn straight.
And so you better make the right decision, and that's got to be a lot of pressure on them. So
I
feel
I just
for
wish
them,
that the talent got paid better on these things, And this is my point, because let's say you book, let's say that one came through and it's mm-hmm. you auditioned for it last summer.
Yeah.
And it's not unlikely for that, for animation and games. Different
right.
for commercial,
right.
different for corporate narrative on the average.
Yes.
Although I've seen that too. Occasionally,
yeah, usually commercials,
very
it's
rarely
a,
as you will know, it be that long.
A day. Or 2 or 3.
It could be a week.
Could be a week. Yeah.
The longest I've seen is maybe 6 weeks.
Atlas will call me and say, "Hey, you remember when you read for this?" And,
yeah.
And I'm like, "No."
It's like when it came back to you again. It's like, and again, you don't know how much there's infighting, and I believe there usually is. There's a lot of infighting going. I think it should be like this. Well, I know Bob likes this, but I hate
right.
that. What is Pete like?
Yeah.
Pete hates that too. Oh, are you sure?
Oh, I was in. I did a. I guess I'll refrain from using the product because, it's a big cable broadcast
network
thing.
Channel.
Yeah.
Channel.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a promo?
This was promo.
Yeah.
So I did a promo for a big, big company that distributes product. And I did it. Everybody loved it.
Yeah.
Boom, done. Sealed, sent it off. But they had a meeting last minute. So just exactly what you just described happened, and one of the young executives felt they had to make a name for themselves. So they said, "Any last input that we need about that?" And the guys,
they're trying to justify their paycheck, man.
This young
I'm
kid said, "Yeah, everything's great. What do you think about replacing the voice?" And they went, "Wait a minute, we did the product is done. We love the voice,
right.
But that little poison barb was just enough for them to replace me."
Oh yes.
So.
Oh yes. You're going to love this story. I was on a session, and this was for McDonald's, okay? I'm going to say this was years ago. I knew that the copywriter hated the voiceover. They were going to use the guy who was on camera, and he hated the guy who was on camera. And he hated that his hand was forced to use the guy who was on camera, who was doing, why use him? I don't like him, though. I don't even think he's funny. And this guy thinks he was really funny. I mean, he thought of himself as being very funny, the copywriter. And he was, not for nothing. He was a freaking funny guy, But he didn't think this guy was funny at all. He just didn't like that the creative directors and the client were forcing his hand to you because he wrote it. And if he has creative freedom on this thing, because the creative director, whoever sold that script to the client, they now have creative reign. So
right.
they get the last word,
right.
supposedly.
Right.
And as a producer, I'm trying to forward whatever that vision is and elevate it and continue it, right? So just for the backstory. So, all right. So we're on the session and he says to me, this is the day before the session. Now you're going to think I'm crazy, but we had 80 spots designed for this guy to do over the course of like 3 days.
Wow.
I know. And I'm thinking, okay. And the guy was in New York, all right? He was in New York when this was going on. And the talent was in New York.
Right.
We were in Chicago. And and so, the copywriter kept saying, what if I don't like him? If we don't like him, we'll replace him.
So he's setting up already.
I go, please... But tell me now, he goes, I don't like him. And I'm going, but it's not just up to you. The creative director, the executive creative director goes, can you live with him for just do a couple sessions with him. Let's see. And that's what he told me too, you know, and I'm going, and I wanted to make sure he heard that. I go, you got that, right? So we got to at least get through the session or so. Yeah, yeah. And he goes, but what if I really hate him? Then what happens? And I go, well, then you got to tell me and then I replace him because I'm the producer, mm-hmm. right? And he goes, oh, yeah, okay. And the talent is in the booth. We're on ISDN. We're waiting for we're hearing the guy through the thing. And as the guy, the words are coming out of his mouth. The first sentence is coming out of his mouth. The copywriter leans over to me and goes, I hate him. Get rid of him.
Oh, my God.
And I'm thinking, cha-ching, cha-ching, there goes my budget, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going, oh, my fucking God. And I'm going to get hung with that, right? So I'm going, well, let's just get him through. Let's get through at least a couple of takes, you know, just get
the
him through
guy.
A take
this,
or two.
This guy already
and
made
so
up his mind.
He was so set in his ways. He was yeah. not wavering a smidge. And I'm going, all right. So I passed this talent. I happen to know who was sitting in the lobby. And when I came in, I'm thinking, wait, he's down there. He's the same type. He's in that ballpark. Funny guy, but not too funny and kind of like, and yeah, you can play one of the guys, you know? And he's like, you know, we just need a guy who sounded like one of the guys. You know, and he's, hey, you know, he's your best friend who's going to get you some, now I'm doing very Chicago because Ben kind of sounded like that, mm-hmm. you know. So he's kind of sounded that way himself, you know. He's, hey, you met one of the guys, you know, and just kind of ting. I'm really going Chicago, South Side, apparently. But anyway, point is, so the copywriter's going, get rid of him, get rid of him. I'm going, okay. And I said to him, all right, what do we have you down for today? And he goes, 2 hours. And I said, how many spots? And he goes, 5. And I go, all right, good enough. You're going to, I hope this is cool, but we're going to say thanks, but no thanks. And I go, I want you to hang, give me 5 minutes, guys, on both sides. I had two studios going at the same time. And I said, so the guys in New York, and I kind of gave them a heads up. I go, hang tight. I just want you to know, we're probably going to have to cancel the session. Just hang tight. Because I had to run down to the lobby, see if he was still there. He was. I'm going, okay, good. What are you doing for the next 2 hours? And he goes, oh. And I go, would you like to do a gig? And he goes, because I'm going to hire you right now. And I said to the copywriter, I go, you're going to have to go with whatever the hell I give you today. And then we're going to have to just go with this. All right. So you're going to have to trust me on this. And he's going, and I go, okay, I want you to hear what he does, because if this doesn't fly, we got to shut everything down. We're going to lose the whole day. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose the whole day, but I'm going to get rid of my studio in New York, and that cost me 10 grand. You know what I mean? Right there. So it was like, and then I had to cancel what was coming forward the following 2 days, you know, that the guy was scheduled for. It was nuts. It was a bloodbath. It was so crazy. But I've seen this kind of stuff, and that's commercial, you know, and that's bad enough, you know, mm-hmm. so, but not for nothing. Most of the guys who actually direct and produce even animation and games, they don't get there because they start out in animation and games. They get there from doing advertising.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They all come from advertising. And
sure.
And you know all the top mocap guys, you know. And so those guys, you know, you don't have to mention names or anything, and I think that do them a good service and not mention their names, probably, because they're going to get demos from all over God's green earth of people who may be fantastic, but they can't use them because they're in Timbuktu.
Yeah.
And they will not do ISDN with them because they're trying to keep it all locked down, and that's why you got to be here.
You have to be here. Yeah.
You have to be here. But how many mocap directors would you say in LA? There's a handful that are like the top guys. 5?
Oh, I don't know all of them, but I would guess
do.
So. Yeah, I guess so.
I think you actually do.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like 5 that I know of that are the go-to guys, whether it be Call of Duty or whether it be Halo mm-hmm. or whether mm-hmm. it be, you know, what are some of the projects that you've done, you've voiced?
I did a Gears of War Judgment, which was, mm-hmm. 6-7 years ago, I guess now.
Do you play any of these games?
No. I've never played
great.
A game.
I love it.
Actually, I did one time. I had shoulder surgery once, and I was on Vicodin, and I came home, and I grabbed the control from my son when I was really wiped out of my head on Vicodin.
How are you? Did you play well?
I was playing Halo, the game that I was doing the motion capture for.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would drive, for those of you who play it, there's a vehicle called the Warthog, and I would drive it up the tree. I was driving it straight up the tree, flipping it over. I had no idea which way it was up, and my son was just laughing at me. I threw him the remote.
Great.
I said, I'm out. I can't.
Yeah,
I don't get video games.
I'm gonna lay here for a while and watch you play. How about that? You know,
yeah.
I'll just be a rock. No, but that's hysterical though. You know, I love that. Yeah, I don't. I you know. I don't really play games either.
I've watched a whole bunch of cutscenes. You know, I've watched them on YouTube. I have to see what's going on. I have to see the style that they're doing these things in.
Yes, you do.
And oftentimes they'll send us reference clips from past games when it's a franchise. And so I get to watch a lot of it, but
oh, that's cool.
I don't actually play.
Yeah. And so, all right. So back to my stupid like timeline, which I've never, apparently I can't keep
can't
a thought
adhere
in my head.
To.
Yeah, apparently. So, all right. You audition.
Yeah.
Maybe a year later, you get to do the gig and your agent calls and says, okay, you're going over to such and so studio. You don't go to Burbank anymore or to Warner Brothers, do you?
For mocap?
Yeah.
It's usually down in
Marina Del Rey.
Marina Del Rey.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. So.
Or Manhattan Beach. I worked with the Jim Cameron studio, Manhattan Studios.
Yeah.
When we did Halo.
That's pretty cool.
First. Yeah, that was great. Oh, my God. Well, there's pictures of all the motion capture done on Avatar throughout the entire studio.
Oh, so. Right.
Beautiful shots of those guys screaming and yelling.
So let's say you book the job.
Right.
And it could be months later. And your agent calls and says, okay, you're going to Marina Del Rey or Laguna or whatever the heck. And so you got to go down there and you got to do the job. So how long are you on the session? And what do they have you do?
From start to finish or per day or what?
For the day. What's the day
Oh,
like?
For the day. It's usually 9 to 5, 9 to 6.
I thought they can only keep you for 4 hours.
No, they do motion capture the entire
12,
day.
Like normal production, like 12 hours?
Yeah, but they don't go over that. They don't go a minute over. So there's
over, it's 8 hours?
Yeah, plus an hour for lunch. So it's a 9-hour day.
And you got a couple of breaks in there?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
And that's union, mind you.
Yep.
That's not the non-union. God help you, man. Good luck. And if you break something, you bought it, you know, so that's all how that works.
Right.
It's on you, you know. But so, all right. So, So you're in the session and you do the thing. And how many days would you be working?
On this last job, we did 6-day weeks.
And how many weeks?
What did we do? I think motion capture, we did 4 or 5 full weeks. Over the course of probably a year. So we would do
one. That's a lot. That's way more than most people get. Mm. You know that though, right?
Yeah. Well, this was a lead character. This was the three main leads in this. And so I was one of them.
Yeah. That's
so I worked
cool.
almost every, I think every day. I did
but
work
you have,
every day.
You're such a strong actor and you've got such a vivid imagination.
Mm,
and
thank
this
you.
Is in part of your skill that you brought to the table from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who hires you as a voiceover assumes you're an actor. And if you're not, for God's sake, get in an acting class and fast. If this is really what you want to do, work on your acting chops, first and foremost. I mean, if you don't live in L.A.,
right.
And even if you do,
right.
If you're not in an acting class on a regular basis, God help you, man. You're going to be wobbly at best, you know, and you need to be.
Well, even for promos these days, they're going with actors more than just deep-voiced guys.
Oh, yeah.
The A&E, Bravo, those people, they want real sounding.
They want options.
They want emotion. They want something different than the standard 90s.
Right. And the direction you're going to get is, give me something different for that. And the novice will go, like what?
Right.
That's your job. If they have to feed you the line and how to say it because that you think that's what direction is, think again. Because then they're doing their job and yours. And guess what? You've completely made yourself, you're no longer valuable to
and
them.
And that's probably,
you
know what I mean? So that's right. That'll be the last one you do with them.
Yeah. They're not going to
more than likely.
Back. Right. Unless you've got to babysit every step.
Unless you sound like Donald Sutherland. I mean, and you've got
Donald
some
Sutherland,
absolutely beautiful voice, but that's a bad example because he's such a great actor. But if you've got a Peter Coyote voice or some specialness, but other than that, you better be a good actor. You better have a list of intentions for you to go to as soon as they ask you to do something different.
Mm-hmm. It's got to sound like point of view. My big thing is like it's everything you ever do as a voiceover. What we do as actors is about point of view, a degree of interest, and effortlessness. And,
absolutely.
And it's one of those three elements that this is the best direction we give ourselves and we ever get. It's some kind of combination of those three elements. Yes, there's some technical stuff. Can you go up on the end? Can you go down on the end? Can you give me that space, take the space out or whatever? That's a little more technical and stuff. But you'll have those too. But that's not just direction. You
well,
know,
that's generally how you nailed it. That's generally how I handle copy. If I get something cold, as soon as I get it, I'll run through it with my headphones on. Mm-hmm. I'll hear it, and I'll because you have to run through it a couple of times to figure right. out what the point of view is of the spot.
Yeah, what am I talking about?
And then you, for me, I list out per line mm-hmm. what my intention is with this line.
Nice.
What am I trying to do to the other person
yeah, yeah.
or the audience member? What am I? What's my intention? What do I want them to get from me?
Right.
And so I do that. I itemize all of those out. Then I run that a couple of times, just
yeah.
cold, just like
right.
clunky
like,
even.
Like 8 to 10 times, right?
Yes, absolutely. And so I have all those intentions with each line almost subconscious now
right.
in there.
Yeah, it's easy.
And then I just let it fly and I do the entire copy
yeah.
without stopping.
You know, this is very Meisner.
Yeah.
That's very Meisner. Did you do a lot of Meisner?
I was trained Meisner.
Yeah, me too.
Did you
study
program.
With Sandy?
No, but Bill Esper in New York.
Yeah, who's fabulous.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, like, wasn't that his right-hand guy there?
Yeah.
Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, I recall something of that nature. But he was extraordinary. I mean, it was just, and then you take a class in Meisner and go, oh, read a book.
Right.
Get the book
but
and read it.
You're
you
right.
Know what I mean?
I mean, Meisner teaches you to do all of that work
yeah.
and then throw it away.
Right, exactly.
And it's so it's already in you. And
yeah.
so then you just relax, like you said, as relaxed as you can be.
Yeah.
And real and natural. And then just it comes out with the intentions that you laid out without even thinking about it.
Right. Right. It's just
and
great.
It sounds wonderful and beautiful and natural and like you just came up with it.
Right. Yeah. And that's
hopefully
everything's supposed to sound like thought, no matter what you do, whether you're doing animation, games, promo, commercial, corporate narrative, e-learning. I don't give a shit what it is,
yeah.
you know, and but I would. Am I wrong in assuming that a bulk of your bread and butter for voiceover is animation and games or mainly games? Yeah.
It's about half and half because
half commercial or half
yeah,
that and
yeah, I would yeah. say half commercial, half that with
there
a few
is,
promos
kids.
Thrown in there.
Yep.
Because if you do happen to luck out and get a, you know, luck out, I say it takes a lot of work to get
yeah.
lucky, but
damn straight, you make your luck.
If you do get a lead in a video game, you're working a lot. So that's a good amount of work. You're working for a while.
Yeah. And when you first start getting into games, most people, they're doing peripheral characters, but you're happy to get the work and
absolutely,
stuff.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
this is what I was getting at, you know, like as far as that timeline, most people are doing these little, interesting little characters and all this kind of stuff, and they're developing things, and they're only on that job maybe 3 days,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe a year from now you might do another 3 days or 2 days, and then you called in for a different game because that went well, and it's the same director, or you were referred by that
same
director.
Company, yeah.
Same company, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, hey, you know, he was really good at this, and this guy did some cool stuff.
Like
and
Blind Light is really good
role.
At that,
yeah.
Bringing people back. Once you've worked for Blind Light, they tend to know who you are, and as long as you're good in the booth and you're
right,
they can rely
and
on you, then you come back. And
yeah,
you're not a
problem.
A pain in the ass.
Yeah, yeah, you bring solutions, not problems, to the table.
Exactly.
It always helps.
Exactly.
But that's awesome.
You know, for Fallout 4, I started out doing this small character, but I made him sort of a Western sort of drug dealer, sort of like that, you know, carry a gun around and I'll get you anything you want. What do you need? What do you got? So
I know that guy.
That turned into like 10 sessions over the
wow.
course of a year for Fallout
no kidding.
4. So
no
it,
kidding.
What started out as just a session or two,
yeah.
they just kept writing for me and just kept writing for me,
cool.
which was wonderful.
Oh, that's really cool.
So yeah, make some good choices.
Right. And again, it feeds the writers, you know, it feeds their imagination as to what you're bringing to the table and stuff. But again, you know, like if you're just starting out in that stuff, it's not something that's going to be viable to you. So that's why you got to do commercial work as well.
Mm-hmm.
And most talent, what I always recommend is master commercial work because it will always subsidize what you're doing.
Mm.
It'll pay for the classes. It'll pay because it pays better and there's more repeat business in it.
Yeah.
It's quicker. It's more repeated business, you know.
Yeah.
And same with corporate narration. You're going to see a lot of repeat business in that. But it takes a lot longer. It's a longer road to become a regular on a game or animated series, you know, or a feature.
Seems to be, yeah.
Oh,
And it's also a small... tends to be a niche, a clique of
definitely.
People that they keep hiring because they know they can, and it's easy for them.
It's a tiny little town of people
yeah.
that are, you know, and it doesn't mean new people can't come in. It just, it's you know.
Whereas commercials, I think you can break in.
Oh, without question. If I hear one more person saying, oh, that's a lottery, then you're not doing it right.
Right. Yeah.
You're not doing what we're showing you.
And
Jeff and I are really good about giving you a roadmap.
By the way, it took me many years before I started booking commercials. I mean, I wasn't doing it right. I obviously,
most of us don't.
It took me hundreds of auditions before I ever booked anything. Hundreds.
Oh, absolutely.
To work on my craft.
Well, it takes 200 auditions to book a job.
Yeah.
And no one wants to hear that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sorry, but that's the reality of it, you know?
It is, yeah.
And that's always been. It's not like that's something new, you know? And that's the other thing, too. It's like, oh, well, now they want the natural voice. Now? They've always wanted the natural voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have they ever not wanted
the
natural voice?
Yeah.
I mean, my whole life, you know, my whole career, you know, I don't think we've, as a producer or as a voice talent, it's just no acting, please. They want an actor, but they don't want you to sound like you're acting.
Exactly.
And
if you're a good actor, it shouldn't sound like you're acting.
Thank you. Again, everything on the page is supposed to sound like thought.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was great. I really, thank you for coming. This
you're
was
so
really,
welcome.
Bruce Thomas, marvelous talent. Is there anything else you'd like to share? Is there any like kind of tidbit or something like that you want to throw at us?
I'm all out of tids.
I don't have any bits left either. I'll do it.
Then we'll save him for next time.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, this is great. Thank you so much for this.
You're welcome, Kate.
It's really fun.
This is Kate McClanahan, and this has been the Sound Advice Podcast. To find out more about voiceover and our process, check out voiceoverinfo.com.